Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have CUNO's very own Richard Ghost here on the show. Richard, how are you, sir?
Just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Better now that you're here because we get to talk interchange today. Oh, yay.
Good time. Talking a lot about that lately.
A lot. It's really come back with a vengeance here. So what's the latest here before we dive into some details? Because obviously, a lot of folks, especially on the banking side of the coin, are up in arms about what's going on here. Credit unions and banks, for the few times that they ever get together, they're together on this one. So what's the latest here?
Well, I mean, the merchants are certainly making a push, not just at the federal level, but we've seen at the state level. There have been several bills proposed in the states that would exclude the calculation of state and local taxes. And then you get to the federal level, you now have, the CCCA reintroduced. And in that effort, you're going to see them trying to reroute at the merchants' choice. Some of the processing for credit.
What do you mean by reroute? Can I stop you? Can I interpret? What do you mean by reroute?
Well, Visa, MasterCard, and the other cards have contracts and routing provisions, so that when they route a card, they have contractual agreements and they put the securities and things in place. According to this new legislation that will be proposed, you would expand that to other routing options chosen by the merchants that wouldn't be in the family that's currently under the contractual agreements of the card companies that are currently issuing those cards. So, you open up the door for other people to get involved, but you also open up the door for people that might not, let's say, have the same security standards or the same.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah,
because I mean, interchange also, it's not only there, it's for obvious reasons, but it's also there for security reasons as well. So, right. I mean, and not a lot of people are talking about that aspect of it.
Well, security is a big, big part of it. You look at the increased use of card, let's go back just a second.
Sure.
When they did the debit, everybody thought that chip and PIN was going to be the end all be all to data security. Well, on card present, it was effective. The authentication, the extra layer of security added for people who presented a card at an establishment to work. But then when you look at how people are buying things today, it's card not present.
Yep, CNP.
The chip and PIN doesn't work on card not present. So think about this. You think about, you go on Amazon, you go online and you buy something, that's a typical card not present action. Well, now you're phoning ahead to go pick up whatever takeout you have, or in some cases even buying supplies at some place. You go in, you pay online, or you pay over the phone, and then you just go pick it up and leave.
Yep.
Well, that's card not present. Right. So a lot of those typical actions that were card present are now card not present. And so the same security features that were in card present have left the building, and now you're back to that, that lesser secure options.
Indeed. All right, let's get back to the legislation part of it. I didn't want to get too far down the security aspect of it, but it's very important part of this whole thing. So what's the current timeline on this bill? Because there's still a lot of opposition from what I've read. There's still a lot of opposition, but I don't know, the tides may be turning here, who knows? But what's the current timeline with the Credit Card Competition Act here?
Well, it was just introduced, last week when the grocers were in, and they have, several different points along the way that they'll try to drop it. So we're not sure exactly when, but it's out there now, and the minute they get the green light, the avenue to go. And again, a lot of these bills are not. They start off on their own, but then they get attached to other things.
Yep.
And they're talking now about NDAA. They're talking about, there'll be an approach process in any number of steps along the way. There had been some discussion early on about it being included in the ag bill. Players will negotiate and try to get the card, bill and do whatever they can that's moving. Mm-hmm. It is open season. Until this Congress comes to an end, this bill is alive and active.
Oh, goodness gracious. So hypothetically, let's talk about if it passes, at what point when it'll pass. So what are some things that will happen if it passes? Again, hypothetical here, because there's still a lot of opposition out there. So we're not talking about this being a for sure thing yet. So what would happen if it passes? What are some ramifications here?
I think the big question is the unknown. I'll go back to Durbin 1.0 on this, on the debit side. There was an exclusion for those institutions under $10 billion in that particular bill. Now, this bill on credit cards, the exclusion goes up to $100 million. So you're talking about a lot more institutions being excluded from the express provisions. But when you look at it, there was a 27% drop in usage or in revenues for those under the $10 billion. That's according to the Richmond Fed study, GAO report on that, and there's others that have opined on those losses. And so, those are real. Then, obviously, when you get to the $10 billion, then you get the caps actually put on you on top of that, so you get additional losses on top of that.
Right.
So when you look at the 100, a lot, and Senator Durbin has tried to sell this as well. Smaller institutions like credit unions and small community banks are going to be affected because they're under the cap. We saw what happened in unintended consequences in the first one.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you have contractual agreements with, the merchant vendor, then the card processor, and then the issuing. So you have all these entities that have all these agreements. You're unraveling them at some point, because now you've got another player come to the table that was not a part of those agreements.
Right.
What's that going to do? And what happens if, let's say, the larger institutions are on this cap, and interchange goes down for the merchants for those, and smaller institutions aren't, and it's a higher cost of doing business, if you will, with a small bank or credit union? What's going to happen when you go to that merchant to present that credit union card or community bank card? They're going to basically say, you got another card? You got one of these big guys' cards? That's the ones we like. And, who knows what's going to happen to the market at that point?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, because I was thinking along the same lines, because it's been said that, if this goes through, then the merchants will pass on the savings to the consumer, which we all know is probably not true.
It's been documented on Durbin 1.0. It wasn't true. I mean, very, very small, if any percentage of the merchants pass that on.
Exactly.
What you have here is the cost of doing business. And the merchants don't seem to want to pay for the cost of doing business for something that's bringing them a lot of business.
Yeah.
And when I say that, you think about the people who shop, and again, we're talking about access to credit. We're talking about, this is the first, for a lot of people, the very first time they have that access to that, instant credit. So, they might not be going out to eat as much. They might not be buying the snacks when they go get gas without the cards. And those things aren't factored in. Think about this. How many supermarkets, how many times have you had an attendant come out to the gas pump, unless you're in New Jersey, and ask you to service your car and pay for it and do it? You don't have any more. You simply swipe your card, you take your groceries, your goods, and you go. Self-checkouts everywhere. That saved merchants tons of money through the process.
Heck yeah.
But they still don't want to pay for that cost of doing business and interchange. And I will tell you, our credit unions are telling us the cost of the security and all things associated with a transaction is greater than the interchange revenues already. Yeah. And it's only going to get worse. And at what point is a breaking point?
I'm glad you brought up the consumer perspective of this, because I mean, is this all going to be transparent to the consumer? Does the consumer even care about this? Because you have the merchants on this side, and then you have the card issuers, or yeah, and the financial institutions on one side, and the consumer obviously is caught in the middle. So is all this going to be transparent to them, or how is it going to affect them, if at all? So obviously we talked before about how these supposed savings will be passed on to the consumer, but you said, hey, you know, studies have shown that didn't happen the last time around. So what's in it for the consumer, or in this case, the credit union member?
Well, I mean, what's in it, and we have data on this because we have a voter survey that we do every year, and we've asked for the last two voter surveys when it comes to your credit card, what are the things that you're most concerned with as a consumer? The first thing they say is easy use of cards, so that when they present their card, it's going to be accepted. The second issue is the liability for any fraudulent activity on your card.
Yep.
So that's a huge issue for folks. And then third is their own personal data privacy. And those are the things that are really driving consumers. So when you add a new rail into the system that is not maybe as secure as the ones that are currently in the system, that privacy is not as secure as it was before.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I mean, we talked about, you know, will merchants start discriminating against cards because of that cap? So the easy use of cards may be at jeopardy as well. I mean, I don't think most consumers go into a merchant thinking about, oh, wow, this is a huge interchange process I'm getting ready to undergo here. But in terms of the easy use of that card and the things that they say they care about, they do care about those things. And as we all know, most people don't walk around with cash anymore. They walk around with that piece of plastic.
Exactly. And pardon my ignorance here, but can a merchant really go, hey, you know what? We're not really accepting that card. Do you have another one that would help us out a little bit? I mean, is that really going to be a process, I guess, in the purchasing act?
Well, we don't know. Again, okay. It happened in the past. And I know that the card companies put in a pretty strict standard, accept all cards. So they tried to get rid of that because, I mean, that had been an issue in the past. It's not so much now. But, you know, think about this. You've got merchants that are in certain states where it's allowed are surcharging people. So if you present your card, they're going to say, if you want to pay for that credit, it's going to be an extra 3%.
Oh my God.
So, you know, you have that option out there. As a matter of fact, that same survey I talked about of our voters, 66% said they were either told their cards or offered a cash discount, which is cash discount is just a backwards way of saying, you use your card, we're going to charge you more. We're going to give you a little less. We're going to charge you a little less if you use cash. And, you know, the cost of cash is something that a lot of people don't talk about. I mean, you think about handling cash, the potential for fraud with cash, and that's all on the merchant side. Mm-hmm. And then the security you have to have, if you're large enough, you have to have a Brinks truck or whatever, and the deposit, the time consumed with balance and a register. All that. I mean, those are all things that are costly too, but they don't get talked about. It's that surcharge, that interchange fee that keeps getting talked about more and more. And it's a cost of doing business, just like keeping your lights on, just like paying your insurance, your employees, your property tax, whatever. It's a cost of doing business, and it's a product that's brought them a lot of business.
Yeah, no doubt. And we all keep talking about how to make that act of making a payment transparent and seamless and super easy. It sounds like if this goes through, it's going to be a step backwards in that area. So I'm just, it just seems like there's so many hurdles to get through because we all want to make that act of making a payment so easy, so seamless, so transparent that you don't even think about it. But in this case, it sounds like, gosh, we might be taking a step backwards.
Well, and you missed a key point, safe.
And safe.
We got to make that transaction safe. And that's where we're going to be taking a big step back. We're not careful.
Completely. Completely. Oh my gosh, Richard. Oh, this is a, all right. You got my feathers ruffled here. So, as most folks are in the financial industry, good grief. So what's next? What can credit unions do? What can, the leagues do? All that type of stuff. What can we do to keep this from happening?
Well, first of all, our league partners have been terrific on this. I mean, you know, they're the tip of the spear,
yep.
Particularly on the state issues side of it, where we've had, like I mentioned, we've had several bills at the state level, but they've been terrific on the federal stuff as well. And, you know, they're as concerned, every bit as concerned as we are. We're concerned as a system. We're concerned together on this issue because it is going to impact our members. And what we're concerned is with the loss of revenues, you know, we have 90% of our credit unions, Michael, offer free no minimum checking. Now, we know when Durbin 1.0 went in, there were several banks that actually that free no minimum checking went away. We don't want to see that pressure get to credit unions to where we have to pull back from that.
Yeah.
We want to serve our members and we want to offer them the best products possible. And 79% of our credit unions offer secured card programs for people trying to reestablish credit, just trying to establish credit. So those products are in jeopardy when you lose that revenue stream that where you're paying out to protect those cards and you're making that system work. So we're all in this together. So our credit unions, what they can do is talk to their lawmakers about what they do with their programs, how they're using it to serve members, and the losses they incur due to fraudulent and negligent activity at the point of sale. Talk to them about the investment they make in security and how this is important to them and their members. And our leagues, we're again working together to get that message out and own it so that we are, you know, given our credit unions the ability to serve their members the way they have for generations.
Yep. Well said. Well said. All right, Richard. Well, I'm going to let you get back at it because I know you have a busy schedule, but thank you so much for your time and your insights today. Anything else to add? Any final thoughts on this one? Not that it's going to be final because this is an ongoing process here, obviously, but what's the last word here?
I think it's just stay tuned, stay informed, and be ready to act because, again, we're in the process until this Congress resigns, you know, goes sine die, and we're going on to the next Congress. This bill will be active, and it can happen at any time. So we want to make sure that we, you know, educate our lawmakers because they're getting plenty of information from the retailers. And
well, I bet they
when
are.
You think about it, everybody has a relationship with a retailer, whether you stop and get your gas in a convenience store and you know the people there and you're there every day, your grocery store. I mean, we all have those, you know, personal interactions. So it's important for us to tell people the consequences mm-hmm. of what that means.
Yeah, no doubt. Alrighty, sir. Well, I'm going to let you get going. Thank you so much, Richard, once again. I think we'll probably be talking about this again here pretty soon. So we'll be sitting on pins and needles.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Enjoyed it.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.